Picture this. You just started a new job, and you're grabbing a drink after work to get to know your new coworkers. Pretty quickly, the conversation turns to movies. Great, you think. I love movies. But, after just a few minutes, they start throwing out all kinds of names, titles, and film industry words you've never heard before. Things like John Cassavetes, neorealism, production design, Frank Capra, Greta Gerwig. You'd be much more comfortable talking about the latest Marvel movie, or debating the ins and outs of Mean Girls for the 100th time. You suddenly remember that time your friend from college made you watch the old black and white Night of the Living Dead. And you kind of liked it, but you also felt pretty sure that you hadn't really understood it. The truth is, you've always thought it would be cool to branch out and know more about movies, but you've also felt intimidated and had no idea where to start. If you identify with any part of that story, you've come to the right place. Hello and welcome to Art House Garage, episode 1. We are thrilled to have you listening. My name is Andrew, and this is Drew.
Hey!
My name's Drew.
We are very excited. We've been wanting to do this podcast for a while, so Let's do it. I think the first thing to answer is, what is Art House Garage? It's a podcast about movies, and we're going to get into more of what it's about. But basically, we both love movies, but we sense a problem. What's the problem, Drew?
The problem is snobbery. Man, that's I cannot stand
being talked down to when we're talking about movies.
It's true. So I feel like movies, more than any other art form, should be very open and open to anyone and open for discussion.
I think that's very true.
It's I don't know, it should be the art form of the people. But I love movies, and I love watching, you know, really good movies and talking about them. But I can get 5 seconds into a conversation with someone and realize that they're talking down to me, or they are rolling their eyes because I've never seen X, Y, and Z. And I just think that's so annoying.
What's one movie that you remember where you told someone you'd never seen it and they were like disgusted? Do you remember?
Yeah. I think that's happened to me a lot of times. It happened to, you said that to me earlier tonight. What did you say about?
Oh, was it Seven? Was it
I've never seen Seven. Yeah.
Yeah, with Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman. Yeah, you're like, I've never seen it. I'm like, why would you have not seen that movie yet? So,
Well, here's the thing. I just said, to my shame. But here's the thing. I don't think I should be ashamed, and I don't think anyone should. And I think that's exactly – so I experienced this too with my wife. So my wife did not grow up watching movies at all. Mm-hmm. I grew up watching a lot of movies with my family. And so at family gatherings and things early on, it was always, Allison, I can't believe you've never seen whatever. And she got so annoyed with that pretty quickly. So anyway, I really want to create a space where people can talk openly. And if we're still learning, guess what? Everyone is still learning. Yeah. So I just hate that kind of snobbiness. And I'll say too, I think the reason I'm so sensitive to that is I used to totally be that way about music, about movies. Actually meeting my wife, but before that too, I started calling that out in other people and then seeing that in myself. And so I'm also not saying that I'm perfect in that, but I strive to be better. And I think that the whole film criticism and film industry discussion industry can be better at that.
Yeah. And it's super intimidating too. Like if someone wants to get into watching film, they're afraid people can be afraid to ask, to understand, because they're afraid like people are going to judge them for it. I'm like, come on,
think about this.
Learn.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I want to get into movies and learn more. Mm-hmm. Here's a little encouragement. Movies haven't been around that long. So if you wanted to get into classical music or something, think how much
go back hundreds of years.
Yeah, there's like, so much more. So anyway, yes, there's lots of movies. They're a time commitment to watch a lot of things. So here's another thing that, so my wife likes movies, not as much as I do, which is great. And there's the same thing the other direction too.
Yeah.
But I think if she never watched another movie in her life, she'd be okay with it. Like she'd be like, she probably wouldn't care that much. That may not be true. I shouldn't speak for her. But on the flip side, I pretty frequently feel anxiety about the fact that I'll never be able to watch all the movies I want to watch before I die.
Really?
It's not going to happen. I'm like, dang, I'll watch that. Probably won't happen. So,
oh man, that's
this
funny.
Is an effort to make me watch more too.
Yeah,
because I think just making that habit and
it's
having
a safe
outlet
place
for
people to come. It's just, I mean, I don't know everything about movies either, you know, and like that's why I love Art House Garage, and I love talking with you about movies, Andrew, because I love learning as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I love that Art House Garage exists to help bridge the gap between people who want to know about movies to the movies themselves, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
What are some other things, Andrew, since this is your, you know, brainchild, what are some other things that you want to see Art House Garage do for people?
Yeah. So there's definitely the educational part, and me and you are both former educators, so I think that works well. Yeah. But I think too, just a community. So I think in general, connecting with art makes us more human or more spiritually well. I don't know, emotionally well.
All of it.
I think that is true. So I recently watched a movie called Before Sunrise, directed by Richard Linklater.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk about that on the podcast pretty soon. But it's about a romantic relationship, but it's mostly about this connection. And at one point, the female in the relationship says, she's talking about kind of humanity, and she basically says the only great thing is this space in between us, and like this idea of us trying to connect.
You know, I believe if there's any kind of God, it wouldn't be in any of us, not you or me, but just this little space in between. If there's any kind of magic in this world, it must be in the attempt of understanding someone, sharing something.
Yeah. I think that, I thought that was really cool. I was really moved by that. And I just think that's, speaks to the importance of connection and community.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about most religious traditions, agree that community is an important thing.
Yeah.
I just think it's good for us as people to have a community. And if you're someone who loves movies or wants to learn more, I want to make a space for that.
How do you see film analysis, film critique, like discussing film? How do you see that playing a role in creating community? I'm very curious.
Yeah. So that's a good question. And I think when we watch a movie, we can all have different responses and we should, and that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really exciting too is when you have the same response as someone or when you see something in a movie. So for instance, watching a movie from another culture and you see what's different about that other culture, but you also realize what's the same and you realize, wow, that like, it just makes you feel more connected to humanity, I think. And the same thing for watching old movies. So like, I have no idea what it was like to be alive in 1936, but if I watch a movie from that time and I see people laughed at the same kind of things. And I don't know, I've always been really excited by that feeling when I'm watching an old black and white movie or something. So snob-free community. That's what we're trying to be.
Yeah, I love it. So my question is like, what can we all expect? Like, what can our listeners expect from Art House Garage?
Yes. So we are going to do this podcast weekly, possibly more frequently. I like what a lot of podcasts do where they have a main show and they might have one-off mini shows. I'm going to do that too, I think, as time allows. So we will talk about specific movies. Like, we'll have an episode about this title. And I want those to be, there's a lot of research that shows the sweet spot of a podcast length is like a commute. So 20, 30 minutes. Mm. Maybe somewhat longer. I think if it gets a lot longer, we can split it into two episodes. And I want to make that easy to digest. So part of the snob free and the easy to access, I think, comes with that shorter time. I enjoy digging into like a 2-hour podcast about a movie I love, but I know that not everyone does. And I think that's, also if you look at the movie podcast space, most of them are really long. So I think we can fill a need there, hopefully, to, hey, I just watched this movie in the theater and I want to search and see, here's 20 minutes about it. And that's easier to handle, I think.
I love the idea of like
doing the research, right? Watching analysis videos, digging deep, reading articles on the symbolism in movies, and then being able to bring that and break that down into a way where like normal everyday people can understand it. Cause like sometimes you read like articles about like analysis of movies and you're just like, what did I just read? Right.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of bringing, like you had told me the other day, Andrew, that you wanted to like bring on directors and cinematographers and like just different people that are in the film industry to come on and just ask them questions about what they do and about what they're looking for. And so that, because here's the thing that I love, and this is what for me, I think a lot of people may be able to get from our house garage, is like the more you understand, or the more that I understand about film, the more I actually enjoy it. And that's really cool to me, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And so one thing I want to do is probably this would not be the podcast, but some other platform, have like some sort of, what do I need to know before I watch this? Because that I think really can enrich your experience watching. Yeah. If you know, like a 2-minute read on a blog post of who directed this, what are they known for? Yeah. What's an important thing, especially if it's an older movie, what's one thing to watch for here? Mm-hmm. That takes it from, I enjoyed that too. I really connected with that. And I think that's that can be helpful and fun work for me to do. Like I would love to research a ton about this movie and then boil that down into a 2-minute read for people. So that's kind of part of that idea, but yes, interviews as well. I, have just recently met a few like local filmmakers. And so hopefully I can grab like a cinematographer. What is your day job actually like? Like, what is it like on set? What are you doing? You know, like a cinematographer is about how the movie looks, but I thought that was the director's job. Like, what's that relationship like? Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that I just want to know, and I could probably find out by Googling it, but I'd rather ask somebody and have a cool conversation about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really, really curious. You know, a lot of people see podcasts about film and stuff, and they're all reviews. So like, what's the difference in like film reviews and what you want Art House Garage to be?
Yes, I love that question. So I think you'd almost think we planned that question.
definitely.
But really, I do think that's an important thing. I had a friend the other day talking to me kind of about this, and she was like, I really like movies, but I don't feel like I'm a good critic. I think I'm going to have this friend on the show and do an episode about this, like a little more in depth. But she's like, I watch something and I pretty much like what's in front of me with some exceptions. Not like everything's great, but I don't look for the negative things. I'm like, hey, that's a good thing. You see the positives. I think that can only be a good thing. Yes, there are movies that are not great, but I think there's good and bad in every movie. And instead of a review of every single thing we watch, first of all, every other podcast is doing that. And that's great. I don't think I'm a great critic either. I'm much better at studying something and explaining it. And I think that's a good point to start a discussion. So this will be discussions, not necessarily, did we like this or not? 5 stars, 4 stars.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be just, here's some cool stuff to know about this. And I think that's more authentic and real too.
Yeah, exactly. No. I was just going to add to that and say, instead of saying, this pass or fail, it's good or bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's some different things that went into making this film, and here's why this film is really important for our culture, and this is the symbolism in it, and why, you know, what does that mean for our society? Because I think there's so much film out there, and I love film as an art form, because for me personally, I love visual storytelling. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what film is. It's visual storytelling. And it includes all the different senses, you know, sight, sound. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't include all of them, I guess, not like touch or smell. But
think Disney World, they have that kind of thing.
absolutely. But I think what's really beautiful about it is that you can convey so much meaning, and that's what I love digging into. Is like, what is, without looking at what if this movie was good or bad, which is what a lot of people are wrapped up in, what does this movie mean? What does it mean for us as human beings, as Americans, as, you know, whatever our ethnicity is, what does it mean for us specifically in that people group, you know? And so I think that's really, really cool. And I love the idea of being able to discuss that.
Hey, I wanted to jump out and give a quick word from our sponsor, Appalling Productions. Appalling Productions produces lots of things, photography, videography, music production. They really do a lot. One thing that they do and do very well, I can say from firsthand experience, is that they will compose and create music for your film, TV show, or podcast, or anything else that you might need some custom made music for. They, in fact, did the theme song to this very podcast. So if you liked it, you can go to appallingproductions.com. That's A-P-A-U-L-I-N-G. It's founded by a guy named Paul, so it's appalling. appallingproductions.com/contact. And if you mention Arthouse Garage in your message, they will give you a discount. And that's a good place to jump in and say, let's get to know Drew a little bit. So you told us why you love movies. Anything else to add to that? And then you can just tell us about yourself.
Oh man. Why do I love? Yeah, that's a lot of it. I kind of did go into that already, but yeah, visual storytelling is really, really, really big to me. Mm-hmm. I really connect with it. I connect with art and beauty. So I love a lot of different forms of art, but film specifically, I love the way the visuals and the auditory mixes together and just can affect my emotions and can help me connect to characters that aren't even real and help me feel for them, which essentially makes me feel alive, you know, touched to another human being, whether they were real or not, you know. I just love that power that it has to be able to reach into us and to tap into that. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Very fascinating.
I love that.
I would say, you know, I'll give you my top four real quick. So my top four on Letterboxd, if you guys know what Letterboxd is, you should go check it out. It's an app where you can give film reviews and rate films. And my top four is The Last Samurai, King's Speech, No Country for Old Men, and Seven. And I'll tell you, I don't think we'll have time to go over every single one of them, but The Last Samurai, I love that one so much because I love the idea, Tom Cruise's main character, how he's so broken at the beginning of the film, and he goes over to Japan and he gets captured, and you would think it's a white savior film, it has that white savior complex, but it's actually the exact opposite. I feel like the Japanese village and a lot of the samurai, they save Tom Cruise's character from self-destruction. And there's so much beauty in that redemption. And there's just so many things to that piece of film that I just could talk about for hours. I love it so much. The performance.
I've only seen that once. I really want to watch that again.
Man, it's so, so good.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so, so good.
Like when it came out and I was really young, I barely remember much about it. I just remember him yelling, "Sake!"
Yeah, I have a best friend, and whenever we mention that movie, we'll just immediately start yelling "Sake!" Just like no warning.
That's really funny. Okay, what was your second movie?
Okay, The King's Speech.
So good.
Yeah, King's Speech. I just love that film. You'll see in those two movies, I like them for a pretty similar transformation of the main character. You see King George, just the family dynamics of even in his real family and just how his shame, personal shame from his family and just transformation through a brother like Lionel is the speech path.
So one of the professional things you do is coach. And I think that goes really well with the King's Speech. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Anyway.
I connect to Lionel a lot. He's somebody I really look to for compassion. If I'm feeling, you know, down or something, I'll put in the King's Speech and it always lifts me up. The third one would be No Country for Old Men. I could talk hours about the symbolism in that movie. That just blows my mind. I love the Coen brothers. I love Coen brother film. And I love No Country for Old Men because I love how they prime you as an audience, as a movie watcher. They prime you to feel like you're about to watch a classic Western, a modern day Western, but kind of the classic, right? And there's certain things I need to go into a Western, like the shootout and it needs to have clear roles between the bad guy and the good guy. And there's certain characteristics that each of them need to have. And there needs to be, you know, a finale and all these things.
Yeah.
And they prime you at the beginning of this movie to feel like that's what you're about to consume, to watch. Mm-hmm. But they flip all of those tropes on their heads. It's such intellectually, like, challenging film content.
That's another one I've seen once, but I really need to see again. These are good just titles to go through over their first episodes too.
Oh man, I'd love to.
Boom. Here we go.
They're so good.
And what was your last movie?
And then number four would be Seven, which I just think is a classic film from the 90s.
Yeah.
It's got Brad Pitt, Morgan Freeman, and
who directed that?
That
is it David Fincher? This is one of his first. Yeah, he also did. Yeah, David Fincher, Social Network, Gone Girl. Yep. Some of his more recent ones. Yeah.
So what I love about that movie is I love how it's a very, very dark movie. Like most of the shot, like 70% of the movie, it's raining. You know, it's like such a dark and morbid movie. There's a lot of really just crimes that are being committed, but they're just like repulsive and just very gritty. But with so.
What's about the seven deadly sins?
Yeah, it is. That's why it's called seven. And there's a crime, someone's murdered, and it's connected in some way metaphorically to one of the seven deadly sins. But what's so amazing about the movie to me is that it actually has an optimistic worldview, even though it's so dark and it's so gritty and some really terrible things happen.
Okay, next question. Unless you were about to say something else.
No. Go.
What's the last movie that you watched and one takeaway from it?
The last movie I watched was Operation Finale, Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley. Amazing, amazing movie. Amazing filmmaking, amazing performances from the actors and actresses. One takeaway from the movie, I love when filmmakers use blocking and when they use like aesthetics and they use a physical blocking, which is like where your actors are standing, how they're positioned, things that they're doing to tell the story.
You think a lot about blocking with theater. I think that is cool to bring that into more prominently into a movie. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome. And Oscar Isaac is such a good actor.
Yes. Incredible. Yeah. And so is Ben Kingsley, dude. Just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Last question for you. What do you look for in a movie? Is there any like theme or something that you watch for frequently?
Man, what do I look for in a movie? I love to see holistic storytelling from just overall in a film, like where the filmmakers pay enough attention to detail where they're not just, it's not just the dialogue and it's not just the overall plot of things that are happening, but it's the little details like in Operation Finale, how it's the little details of their posture, of their blocking, of the clothes, the colors in the scene. That tell the story just as much as what the actors are actually doing and saying. But what you visually see is telling the story as well. I am so impressed by films and filmmakers who do that. Some filmmakers that I think do that really well is like Quentin Tarantino and Wes Anderson. I think they do that very, very well. They use a lot of the nonverbals and the visuals and the auditory, all those things together to tell the story. I think it makes really good films stand out.
I love that answer. And that kind of segues into the next thing, which is me telling why I love movies.
Yeah, go.
And I think that absolutely that, what you just said, like bringing in all the little details, you can be meticulous. Like what you said, so like I really enjoy music and thinking about what's good music. I really enjoy visual art and movies kind of bring that all together. And I think that's really cool that, and it can take you on a journey too. So like seeing it in the theater, I think is incredible. And you kind of have to subject yourself to it and really be on board for whatever it's doing. And I think that's the best, you know, just going on a journey with a movie is an amazing way to spend your time. And, anyway, that's the short answer, I guess, but
yeah,
just always, I think ever since I was a kid, really connected with just watching movies.
Yeah. What would you say is your top four movies?
My top four on Letterboxd. Number one, I have, and this is what I always answer when people say, "What's your favorite movie?" First of all, that answer changes from day to day. But like a really good, like best movie of all time, or one of my favorite movies ever, is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
You know, that's a movie I haven't seen. I think I've been telling you I'm going to see it, but I haven't actually made time to watch it yet.
I love it. So briefly, what it is it's a romantic movie. And it's actually at the beginning of the movie, they've just broken up. So I realized a while back that I really enjoy, like I looked at a lot of my favorite movies and I really enjoy movies that are more or less grounded in reality, but they have one really fantastical element to it. Mm-hmm. There's probably a word for that, like magical realism or something. But like Groundhog Day, I love that movie.
Really?
And it, you know, it has this weird time travel thing. But other than that, it's just like an everyday situation, you know? Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing. So Eternal Sunshine feels very much like it's in reality, mm-hmm. but there's this company that you pay to selectively erase your memory. And so basically these people have broken up and they erase each other from their memories. And then it's what happens when they meet again.
Whoa, that's crazy.
It's awesome. Really great. Yeah, absolutely love it. It's a kind of a mind bender. Jim Carrey in a really serious role, which I love. Yeah, it's just really good.
So is it at the end of the movie, are you happy or do you feel sad?
Mixed, I would say, but mostly it's a positive movie. I'd say it's a positive outlook.
That's cool. I was thinking we should get together and we'll watch Seven first, which will, you know, very dark, and then we'll
take us down.
Yeah, and then we'll watch Eternal Sunshine next.
Yeah. So it's a very happy sounding title, right? Eternal Sunshine. Yeah. It's really good. Kate Winslet is the female lead and a lot of good actors in it.
Yeah.
Next movie is Inglourious Basterds, the Quentin Tarantino movie. So actually, I realized I have two World War II movies mm-hmm. in my top four. My next one is two. But Inglourious Basterds, I really love. I kind of discovered Tarantino in college, which I think is a lot of people like who are into movies. Like, I watched Pulp Fiction and everything changed.
yeah.
But then when Inglourious Basterds came out, suddenly I was like, wow, he made a real movie. That sounds like a weird thing to say,
yeah.
But it was just like people sitting around having dialogue, but it also played with a form. So I remember like the way it has cultures, mm-hmm. It plays with the ideas around culture and language, and that becomes part of the plot. It's also just a lot of fun, even though it is, I don't know, it's a little bit more subdued, at least in the first. I mean, it's full of action and stuff, but it's not big and crazy the way Pulp Fiction or Kill Bill is. And so I connected with that. And, it has a really over the top British guy or a few, with like the Mike Myers character is really funny. But
when you watch it, you don't expect Mike Myers to be in it.
Yeah. He's like barely in it too, but he's really funny. He's just like the most British person you've ever met. Just like there's some espionage and like a spy pretending to be different cultures, and mm-hmm. how that plays into his situation is really interesting. Of course, the ending is crazy. It ends up being about the power of film too, which obviously is something I enjoy.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. I watched it two or three times. I've never thought about that.
How that ending happens in the movie theater it had like the film itself, the film reel itself is a big part of it, mm-hmm. if you recall. Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, really big fan of that movie. Next up is another World War II movie, Life is Beautiful, which maybe similar to Eternal Sunshine, has some difficult things in it, but ultimately life is beautiful is kind of the message of it. It's an Italian movie. It's about basically a guy who has an amazingly beautiful outlook on life. And this guy in reality really does. He directed it and started it, won the Oscar for a foreign language film that year. You may have seen, actually, there's a great clip of him going to the Oscar stage and he like walks over to all these seats and he's like so happy and it's just so much joy. Like he radiates joy. And I think that's the only reason this movie works.
That's awesome.
I've watched some behind the scenes stuff. People found out he makes comedies. Someone found out he was making a comedy about the Holocaust.
What?
And they're like, we can't do that. What in the world? Basically, it's a comedy until the Holocaust starts and you see how that disrupts everything.
Wow. Yeah.
It's just beautiful. And like the first half of the movie, you're crying with happiness. And then the second half, you're like going through a lot. It's a very good movie. All time favorites.
Wow.
And then my fourth one that I have on Letterboxd, honestly, I might change this. I really like this movie. I came to this movie when I, at a time that it really connected with me. Mm-hmm. It's Donnie Darko.
Why do you keep that on your top four instead of changing it?
I thought it was cool. It has this 80s vibe, which is cool, but it is very dark. Like it's even in the name. And it has, I don't know, a lot of angst and teenage angst. I watched it in college and I don't know, kind of connected with like this disillusionment with the establishment and kind of a grandiose kind of a way. Mm-hmm. He's kind of fed up with adults and life, and it's kind of him dealing with that. And it has this crazy time travel stuff, and it has this cool kind of cult following, and there's this bunny, scary bunny, mm-hmm. and just it's wild and crazy and kept me guessing, but also connected with it and just thought it was a fun thing, and that's one I have seen several times.
What is the last movie you watched, and what was the takeaway from it?
Yes, just today I went and saw the movie Searching, which I'm definitely going to do an episode about this in the future, so I'll go into more detail later. But the whole thing takes place on computer screens and phone screens, mm-hmm. so it's like you're sitting in front of a laptop, or like the whole screen. So first of all, that's really crazy, especially on a big screen. Like I saw it in the theater today, and it's like your Mac desktop is huge. And so there's FaceTime calls, and like the story unfolds that way. But it's a thriller about this guy looking for his daughter who's missing. And it's just amazingly effective in how well the story's told. Very emotional experience for me. Mm. I've realized this over the last several movies, now that I am a dad, like movies, father-daughter, especially father-daughter stuff. Really gets me. Oh, like we watched The Wrinkle in Time recently. Remember
that? Oh yeah, yeah. We watched that.
I didn't fully love that movie, but there's some father-daughter stuff that really, hit me hard. But this one too, it's also about father in crisis, which, like my daughter's fine at this point, but she's had some crises early on. And so I just identify with like his feelings of helplessness and anxiety.
Wow.
And, like for that reason, it really kind of wrecked me. Like I really, really loved the movie and had quite an experience watching it.
I love how someone who's never met you in this life and never will can create something that connects with you so intimately.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
So true. It is crazy.
Okay. So last question, what do you look for in movies?
I like a movie that keeps me guessing. Maybe I'm just saying that because I watched a movie today that very effectively did that. Like I had no idea. It's lots of twists and turns in this movie Searching. But yeah, a movie that is a little confusing. So I think that's something too, like, so people who are intimidated by, weird artsy movies or something like that. Like, I like watching a movie that I know I don't know much about. Like, I don't know what to expect, or why is this movie moving so slowly, or why is this confusing thing happening?
Yeah.
And trying to find the answers, even when the movie doesn't tell you the answer. Yeah. Like, I love trying to figure that out. Mm. So yeah, I guess that's my answer, is a movie that engages me intellectually or even just confuses me.
I love it.
Not in a bad way. There are movies that are confusing in a bad way, but I don't know. Movies that kind of draw me in.
Yeah. So the last question of the day is, for our listeners, Andrew, tell us how like they can follow us, how they can stay up to date, how they can get connected with us.
Yes. Good question. So you can follow both of us individually on Letterboxd. What's your Letterboxd?
Mine is DrewFoot91. So DrewFoote91.
There you go. Mine is Asweat08, Asweat08. And so those will keep individual. But then for Art House Garage, we have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We have Instagram. And all of those are just at Art House Garage. I'm also on Stardust, which is a fairly new platform, but it's essentially, if you're not familiar with it, it's like an Instagram story attached to a movie title or an episode of a show.
Oh,
so
nice.
You record like a short thing that's like, so you can say, I want to watch Eternal Sunshine, and what are all these reactions to it? And you can follow people. So anyway, I'll be on there too. Yeah. So those are all the places. Follow us there. And I am excited to engage with people there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I would just encourage everyone listening, go on to all of our pages, follow us. And I'd love to know, what are your top four movies and why do you love them? I think that would be cool.
Great question. Yeah, love it. Well, thank you everyone so much for joining us. I'm so excited. I knew I wanted to get this episode one out so then we can start digging into movies and stuff. So keep tuned to your local podcast app, and you will be hearing from us again very soon. And that is all for episode one of Art House Garage. Thank you so much for listening. Reach out to us on social media. We are at Art House Garage on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you're listening with Anchor, you can leave us a voice message, and you can always reach out to us by email at andrew@arthousegarage.com. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.